everyone. Welcome to Anchor Baptist Church. It is time to go ahead and get started. If you would, find a seat and grab a hymnal. Turn to our first hymn, number 97. Hymn number 97, I Need Thee Every Hour. Hymn number 97. I need thee every hour. Let's sing it out all together. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby.
Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour.
With me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your opportunity to gather together and sing praises and learn from your word. I pray that you would be with the seeds that were planted this afternoon, and that you would also just put your spirit in us to continue soul winning even when it is difficult, either from a carnal or a spiritual perspective, that we would just keep our zeal and we would keep trying to go forth and bear your truth. Lord, for this service specifically, I pray that you'd open our ears to the message, that you'd fill Pastor with your spirit, and that everything would be done decently and in order. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For our next hymn, number 179, Such Love, 179, Such Love. Let's sing it out. That God should love a sinner such as I should yearn to change my sorrow into bliss. Lord, rest till he had planned to bring me none. How wonderful is love like this. Such love, such wondrous love.
For our evening service. If anyone needs a bulletin, please raise your hand and an usher will come and bring you one. We do have there our Bible memory passage of the week, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 6. Nice short one this week. So kids, if you want that ice cream on Wednesday, learn the memory verse. And we still have plenty of ice cream even after that feast this afternoon. So make sure to do the verse on the inside. Our service times are listed there. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening at 4:30, and our Wednesday Bible study through the Gospel of Mark at 7 o'clock p.m. Below that, we have our soul-winning times. Those meet here at the church building except for Saturday. Keep your eye on the signal group for the address on Fridays that are usually sent out for that Saturday time there. Below, we do have our year-to-date soul-winning statistics for local and abroad salvations, and like I had mentioned, not included in this, a lot of our soul winners went and participated in the Fiji missions trip recently, and I've heard a lot of great reports from people. Many have told me that it's the most receptive place they've ever went soul winning, that it beats the Philippines, that it beats the Bahamas, which that's quite a high praise right there to say it's better than those places. So I really want to get out to Fiji someday. The only downside that I really see is that it's really far, and so that's why I think like we should still hit up the Bahamas often. It's because it's 4 or 5 hours away. And I think, what's the flight, Theodore? 14 hours to 12 hours to Fiji. So obviously that's a long flight for sure. But it's worth it to go to a receptive place. Below that, we have our online visitor card and our online giving information. And then we also have our prayer list below. If you have any additions to that, please do email the church. One thing, pray for me, please. I'm going to be traveling this upcoming week. I'm going to be preaching at Straight Paths Baptist Church in St. Louis next Saturday. And so I'm really excited. I've never been to St. Louis before, never been to that church, but it seems like that church is doing well and reaching souls for Christ. So it's going to be a fun weekend. Pastor Anderson will be preaching on Friday. I'll be preaching Saturday. And, of course, Pastor Corbin Russell on Sunday. So I'm really excited to partake in that. Just keep me in prayer, if you will, for travels and just health and everything to go well for that trip. I'd appreciate it. Upcoming events, August 15th is our next Soul Winning Marathon in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Just a short drive down the road, and we're meeting at 9 a.m. at Chick-fil-A in Shawnee. It's the northern location, not the Chick-fil-A at the college campus. And then Soul Winning from 10 to 12:30, lunch 12:30 to 2. Round two of soul winning from 2 to 4 p.m. Then our next men's preaching night will be August 23rd for the Sunday evening service, followed by a potluck and just fellowship and games. That's always a good time. September 19th is the Osage Indian Soul Winning Marathon in Pawhuska. October 24th is the Orr Family Farm Fellowship Weekend. Well, that'll be on a Saturday this year again. October 31st. Is the next chili cook-off. I think that's also on a Saturday. And then November 7th is the Enid, Oklahoma Soul Winning Marathon. That's it for announcements this evening. Let's go ahead and go to our third song together.
For our third song, turn, if you would, to number 31. He lives. Hymn number 31, 3-1, He lives. Hymn number 31, let's sing it out all together. I serve a risen Savior,
He's in the world today. I know.
Are being passed. Turn, if you would, to John 14. John chapter number 14.
John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I pray that you'd fill Pastor Oz with your Spirit, help him to preach an edifying sermon, and for us to receive it. Amen.
You know, you go to some churches, and they pray for like 20 minutes, and Brother Theodore is the fastest. I got to run up here when he's reading, but hey, at least he's not doing it for a vain show. You know that, right? John chapter 14, look at what the Bible says in verse 26. The Bible says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. And the title of my sermon is The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. There's a lot of weird and false teachings about the Holy Spirit out there today. And one of the false accusations that's often leveled against us as fundamental Baptists, I can't even tell you how many times I've been soul winning and someone has said this to me, you guys don't believe in the Holy Spirit. You guys don't even believe in the Holy Spirit. And usually this is Russian Pentecostals when I lived in Washington. And what they mean by that is, you guys don't believe in running around the aisles and barking like a dog and speaking gibberish is what they really mean. But, you know, it's a false accusation to say that we don't believe in the Holy Spirit. We do believe in the Holy Spirit. But we need to base our beliefs on the Holy Spirit based on what the Bible says. And I think there's lacking today in churches this idea of just teaching doctrine. I don't think every single sermon needs to be like a line-by-line doctrinal sermon. I think we need preaching. We need exhortation. We need face ripping, but you know, we also need doctrine to be taught. There's so much shallow doctrine out there. And you know how you know this? By going soul winning. When you go out soul winning and you hear people's doctrine, people today are just starving for doctrine. And so we need to have a balance in church between preaching, hard preaching, and just going through what does the Bible teach about the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, number one, let's talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. And right away, a lot of charismatics or oneness Pentecostals would have a problem with me using that word regarding the Holy Spirit, saying that he is a person. But I submit to you, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit of God is a person, not a force, not some sort of esoteric, mythical force that exists in this world, but the Holy Spirit of God is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, if you will. Look at John 14, verse 16. The Bible says, and this is Jesus saying this, "And I will pray the Father, and he," who's the he referring to there? God the Father. We know God the Father is a person, right? "He shall give you another comforter, that he," who's that talking about? The comforter, "may abide with you forever." So notice there's that personal pronoun, he, that's being assigned to the comforter, and this person is going to abide with you forever. You know, thank God that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we get sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. That is not some sort of force that dwells with us forever, but that is a person that dwells with us forever. The third person of the Godhead dwells within us and has sealed us until the day of redemption. That's not a force, that's a person. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," notice, "he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." You know, a force doesn't teach you things. You know what a force is? Gravity. Gravity is a force that pushes you down towards the center of the earth. Gravity is exerting, you know, will on us, but gravity's not teaching us anything. A force doesn't teach you anything, right? But the Holy Spirit, he abides with you. He has a pronoun, he, and he's teaching you things, and he's bringing things to your remembrance. You know, we have a direct relationship with the Holy Spirit of God when we are saved, right? You're reading God's word, and the Holy Spirit of God is guiding you, leading you to all truth, bringing other verses to your remembrance to help you and to bless you. Flip the page, go to John 15. John chapter 15. It says, verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father," notice this, "he shall testify of me." That does not sound like a force to me. This is a person, and he is what? He's the Comforter, and he's testifying of the Father. What does that mean? He's bearing truth to the Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, elsewhere the Bible talks about how he does not speak of himself, speaking of like the source. The Holy Spirit isn't just making up things to say, but he's saying only that which was given to him from the Father. And this is kind of why he's referred to as the third person of the Godhead, is because of the fact that he's just pointing you to Jesus. He's pointing you to the Father. He's getting the words to speak from the Father. He's not speaking of himself. So he's the third person in that sense. Go to John 16. John chapter number 16, verse 7. Again, let's look at this pronoun used once again. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Right? So in the Old Testament, people did not have the permanent indwelling of the person of the Holy Spirit of God, because Jesus said, hey, unless I go away, the Holy Spirit is not going to come to you. But of course, he did go away. He ascended up to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And on the day of Pentecost was when the Holy Spirit was poured out. That's that baptism of the Holy Spirit that we studied from Mark chapter number 1. That's when God sent the Comforter to us. And ever since the day of Pentecost, every believer who's ever put their faith in Jesus Christ has been sealed and indwelled with that the person, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, not every religion believes this, right? We as Baptists, why are we Baptists? Because we believe what the Bible says. There are false religions that teach all sorts of crazy stuff about the Trinity. And one of the most blasphemous teachings of the Holy Spirit is what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach on the Holy Spirit. So they have like a publication outhouse that they call the Watchtower Society. And they have this publication called Reasoning from the Scriptures. And in page 204, this is what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. "The Trinity doctrine their concept of God, and they're referring to like Christians, like us, their concept of God himself is borrowed from pagan sources and was developed in its present form centuries after Bible writing was completed. So Jehovah's Witness just deny the Trinity. This is how you know, by the way, Jehovah's Witnesses are not saved, okay? They're not brothers in Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses are a false cult, weirdo cult, okay? And you know, the only thing that I like about the Jehovah's Witnesses is I feel like they used to go door to door, but now every time I see them, they're just standing by a little sign doing nothing. And in fact, almost every day where I work, right outside of the door of where I work, these Jehovah's Witnesses put up their little stand and they're just like looking at you as you walk by, but I've never seen them talk to a single person. So that, like, that's the only good update I've seen from the Jehovah's Witnesses. But they completely deny the concept of the Trinity. But I don't get how you do that, because Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And if I don't go away, he won't come. Doesn't sound like this is the same person. Sounds like they're distinct persons, right? The person of the Holy Spirit of God. Here's another thing they say. They have an article called "Do You Appreciate Our Spiritual Heritage?" Paragraph 7. Jesus told his followers to make disciples of people of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that kind of destroys their doctrine of not believing in the Trinity, right? They say this means that a person who wants to be baptized as a true Christian and be one of Jehovah's Witnesses must believe that the Father Jehovah has authority over Jesus and that Jesus is God's Son who came to earth as a ransom. The person must not believe that the Holy Spirit is part of a Trinity. That's what Matthew 28:19 is teaching, according to them. Instead, it is God's active force, right? It is part of our special heritage to know that the Trinity teaching dishonors God and is not true. So this is the gaslighting you get in cults today, like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They take you to Matthew 28:19, where it verbatim just spells out baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And they look at that and say, you see, what this is teaching is that one must not believe that there's a Trinity. And one must realize that this teaching of the Trinity is dishonoring to God. Again, it's kind of this, you know, to go along with this morning sermon, this idea of just arguing against Jesus, arguing with the Bible, right? Nah, Jesus, let's not listen to what you said. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Really, we're supposed to realize that what Jesus taught dishonors God. Jesus' teaching of the Trinity dishonors God. Or we could realize that this is a false cult that is sending people straight to hell. Here's another quote from them, a publication called Why Be Guided by God's Spirit. They say, so what is the Holy Spirit? A footnote at Genesis 1:2 in the New World Translation, that's the Jehovah's Witness Bible, of the Holy Scriptures, with references says that the Hebrew word ruach is translated spirit at Genesis 1:2. In other verses is translated as wind, or words with a similar meaning. Compare footnotes at Genesis 3:8, Genesis 8:1. Even though we cannot see the wind, we can see what it does. In the same way, the Holy Spirit is invisible, but it can cause things to happen. They say the Holy Spirit is not a person, it is energy from God. He uses it on people or things to make sure that whatever he wants will happen. It is hard to believe that such a marvelous force. Is it hard to believe that such a marvelous force comes from the Almighty God? No, not at all. So what do the Jehovah's Witnesses say? It's a force, it's energy, but it's not a person. You can't believe that he's a person that dishonors God. And they say, well, you know, it's translated as spirit in Genesis 1, but that same Hebrew word is translated in other places as different words. And it's like, what if I told you that the same word could have different meanings in different contexts, right? It's just crazy. And you got to be careful of people that want to take you back to the Greek, take you back to the Hebrew, to correct what the King James Bible says, and they don't even use the King James Bible, but just to correct the English, because they have an agenda. They have an agenda to corrupt your mind and to teach false doctrine, and they're not interested in giving honor and glory to the Holy Spirit of God. They're interested in bringing God down a notch and saying, oh, don't honor the Holy Spirit. He's just a force. He's just an energy. No, he's a person. He's a person that dwells within us. So let me give you some examples here, because it is true that sometimes One word can be translated multiple different ways in different parts of the Bible. That's true. We talked about that with Sheol, right? We talked about that with the doctrine of hell. You know, in English, there are words that are spelled the exact same way, that are the exact same word, but mean different things in different contexts. How about this? B-A-S-S. You could go fishing for bass. Or you could have a stringed instrument, a low-pitched stringed instrument called what? A bass. Okay? You could have a tear, right? You tear paper, or you could have a tear coming from your eye. Hey, there's no such thing as tears, because over here it's tear, right? That's ridiculous. What about this? Content. Hey, I'm producing content. Or I'm content. I'm not saying I am content, I'm content. Okay? Again, we talked about this one. How about plane, right? Something that flies in the sky or a flat surface. This is like the elementary knowledge that they just try to snow people with. It's be like, oh, Ruach is spirit here, but Ruach is wind over here. It's like, yeah, sometimes words can be translated different ways in different contexts. But you know what? The 54 expert scholars of the King James Bible, you know what they said Genesis 1-2 was? The Spirit of God. Go to Acts chapter number 5. Let's look at some more scripture here to prove that the Holy Ghost is a person. The Holy Spirit of God is a person. Acts chapter number 5, verse 1 says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. I think if you study out this passage, what they're doing here is, I believe what they're doing is they're acting like they've sold this property, and they're pretending like they're giving it all to church, like they're just sacrificing it all to God. But clearly there's some act of conspiring going on here, because they're lying, and it says that he kept back part of the price, that's what the husband did, and his wife was also privy to it. So she's in on this conspiracy. She's helping her husband sin. And verse 3 says, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart, notice, to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Let me ask you this. Can someone lie to an impersonal force? Can you lie to energy? Can I go tell a lie to electromagnetism? Can I deceive gravity today? Can I tell a lie to gravity? You know what you could tell a lie to? A person, right? And he's saying, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Why? Because the Holy Ghost is a person. And let's keep reading. Notice what it says. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto who? God. So the Holy Spirit is a person. How do we know that? Because you can't lie to an impersonal force. You can't lie to energy, right? You have to lie to a person. And Peter says, hey, you haven't lied unto men. You've lied unto God. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is God. He is a part of the Trinity. These three are one, the Bible says. He's the third person of the Godhead. But the Holy Spirit is God. Let's prove this further. Go to Romans 5. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Notice, ask yourself this. Can an inanimate object, can a force shed love abroad in your hearts? No. You know who sheds love abroad in your hearts? The Holy Spirit of God, because he's a person, right? You can't make some sort of invention, some sort of physical object that sheds love abroad, right? That's a supernatural thing, to shed love abroad in our hearts, and that's done by the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God. Flip the page to Romans 8. Romans chapter number 8. I mean, there's so much scripture proving that the Holy Spirit is a person. Here's some more person-like language being used here. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the, notice, mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. A force doesn't have a mind. energy doesn't have a mind, right? But the Holy Spirit of God has a mind. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ, right? God the Father has a mind. The Lord Jesus Christ has a mind. The Holy Spirit has a mind. The Bible says it very clearly. What is the mind of the Spirit? The Spirit of God is a person. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. Now, what's funny is, here's what the New World Translation does to that passage we just read in Romans chapter number 8. They say this, but the one who searches the hearts knows what the meaning of the Spirit is, because it is pleading in harmony with God for the holy ones. That's not an accidental change right there, right? They hate the Holy Spirit of God. They don't want to acknowledge him as God. They don't want to acknowledge him as a person. So they come to a verse that clearly says, hey, we have the mind of the Spirit. And they're like, well, let's just change that to the meaning of the Spirit. This is yet another reason why it's important to be King James only, because there are so many wicked people in this world that hate God's word, hate the truth of the Bible, and they have an agenda to change God's word. It's not just like, hey, let's update the language, the these and the thous. Let's make things easier to understand. There are Bible versions out there that are intending on attacking God himself, attacking the person of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the New World Translation is doing. Look at 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter of the Spirit, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You know how the Spirit can give life? Because it's not an inanimate force. It's not an energy. It's because the Spirit is God. That's how the Spirit can give life. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. I mean, there's just so much in the Bible just proving over and over that the Holy Spirit of God is a person. And look, it's important for us to know this kind of doctrine, because you never know when some sort of weird, freakish doctrine is going to pop up, right? Many of you may remember, some of you may not. You know, back in 2018, a doctrine that you would never think would be controversial among independent fundamental Baptists rose up to where people were starting to teach oneness. People were starting to teach modalism, which is a denial of the Trinity, saying, hey, it's not three persons, that basically Jesus is the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus is the Father, and that God is basically just shape-shifting into these different forms and revealing himself in these different ways. That is not true. That's not biblical, right? I mean, Jesus talked about how he shared glory with the Father before the world was, how God loved the Son before the world was, right? In Genesis chapter 1, we see the Trinity being taught. We see it all over the place. And so, look, I don't think anyone in here is like, man, I didn't know that the Holy Spirit of God was a person. But, you know, you better know how to prove it. You better know where it is in the Bible, because you never know what kind of weird heresy is going to pop up. You got to be instant in season, out of season, the Bible teaches. Okay, here's a great one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know why you could grieve the Holy Spirit? Because he's a person. You can grieve me. I can grieve you. Again, I can't grieve gravity. I can't grieve electromagnetism. But you know, you could grieve the Holy Spirit of God because he's a person. And by the way, we should take that seriously, right? That the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us, and we should make an effort not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We've been given this great gift of being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And yes, we're sealed until the day of redemption. We can never lose our salvation. But why would we want to live our whole life grieving him? This is also great proof, by the way. People say, oh, if you get saved, you're just going to automatically do the works. You're just automatically going to have works. Then why does the Bible instruct us to not grieve the Holy Spirit? Right? If works were automatic, then I would never grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The reason I have to do this is because, you know what, works are not automatic, and I have to choose to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Hey, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed. Hey, you're always saved, but you shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Go to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John 5. Look at verse number 7. Here's a great verse on the Trinity. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, that's Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So what is the Trinity? Hey, we believe that there is one God, right? We're not polytheists. There is one God, But that one God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You say, I can't fully wrap my mind around that. Okay, well, guess what? It's God. I wouldn't expect you to fully wrap your mind around God. But here's the thing. Let's not get too, into illustrations or anything like that. Let's just believe what the Bible says. That there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. We believe in the Trinity at Anchor Baptist Church. But this verse, here's how it reads in the New World Translation. For there are three witness bearers. That's it. For there are three witness bearers. Who are they, Jehovah's Witnesses? Who are the three? They just omit it from the Bible. And you know what? Most modern versions of the Bible just omit this verse. It's just gone. You might, if you're lucky, you might have a little footnote on your Bible that says, like, hey, this wasn't in the earliest and best manuscripts, which is a bunch of garbage. It's a lie. You know, the Bible teaches there are three that bear record. And it's like, you know how we know that 1 John 5:7 is authentic scripture? Because the entire Bible teaches the Trinity. I mean, you see the Trinity all over the Bible. You see it in Genesis. You see it in Daniel, the fourth man in the fire, like unto the Son of God. You see it in Proverbs chapter 30. Hey, what's his name? What's his son's name? You see it at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove. God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know how I know this is right? Because the whole Bible matches what this teaches. Right? So we know this is the Word of God right here. Go, if you would, to Daniel chapter number 11. Daniel chapter 11. Now, here's the thing. This idea of calling the Holy Spirit a force or an energy, this is not just like, hey, we agree to disagree. This is demonic, wicked, false doctrine that is something that's categorized by the end times. Why do I say that? Look at Daniel chapter 11, verse 37. It says this. I think this is a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. It says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate shall he honor, notice, the God of forces. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. You know, that's kind of a trendy thing right now, is this idea of like force and energy, right? This new age type religion where it's like, I just want to give off good energy. I want to, take these mushrooms so I can get some good energy, some force. This is wicked demonic stuff. And one of the end times characteristics of the end times religion is that the Antichrist is not going to honor the God of his fathers. He's going to have this new religion, like this God of forces. I think this new age mentality is going to be a big part of end times false religion. And you know what? It's not necessarily a new thing, because the Jehovah's Witnesses have been teaching this for a long time. Go, if you would, back to John 14. Number one, I said the person of the Holy Spirit. Number two, let's talk about the purposes of the Holy Spirit. The purposes of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of us for a reason. He has a work to accomplish in our lives. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he bears witness to the truth. He shows us what the truth is. And let's read this before I go into this. But John 14, verse 16, the Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even, notice, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Go to John 15. Let's look at a few verses on this. John chapter number 15. John 15, look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, notice, he shall testify of me. One more. Go to John 16. John chapter number 16. Look at verse 13. Howbeit when he, there it is again, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. A couple things I want to say about this. We see very clearly, hey, the Holy Spirit of God, he is the Spirit of truth. That's one of his names. He's the Spirit of truth. And one of his purposes is to guide us into all truth. Now, we already know that believers, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to be with us until the day of redemption. We're never going to lose the Holy Spirit once we're saved. So there's this idea out there that says, well,
you know, what happens if you stop believing, right? Who's heard this out soul winning, right? Like, hey, what if you get saved, but then you stop believing? Are you going to lose your salvation? I submit to you that it is impossible for a saved person to stop believing. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going anywhere. He's going to be with us forever till the day of redemption, and he bears witness to the truth. The Holy Spirit of God is never going to testify to you, hey, Mormonism is true. Hey, Jehovah's Witness, that's the real religion. Hey, Islam, that's the real religion. Hey, become a Jew. The Holy Spirit will never do that, right? When you wake up in the morning, you know what your name is. You don't forget it. You don't have to wonder, right? When you were a child and you finally learned, hey, Santa Claus isn't real. Mom and Dad have been lying to me. I can't believe they lied to me and told me that Santa Claus was real. You know what? He's not real. Man, I can't believe my parents were lying to me. The Easter Bunny's not real. The Tooth Fairy's not real. Once someone knows that the Tooth Fairy's not real, Santa's not real, the Easter Bunny's not real, do you think there's anything I could do to convince them that Santa Claus is real? Like, once you're enlightened to the truth, you just know the truth. You think I could pull out an AI video and be like, look, bro, look at the North Pole. I've got the video evidence. Santa is real. Look at this Tooth Fairy, you know, AI-generated thing. No one's going to fall for that. Once you know the truth, you know the truth. And look, once you know that Jesus is the Son of God, once you know that he died for your sins, that he rose again, you've put your faith in him, you're not going to stop believing that. And let me tell you something. If someone said they were a Christian and then they became a Muslim, then they became a Mormon, then they became a Jehovah's Witness, let me help you. They were never saved to begin with. They never believed to begin with. They are what the Bible says are false brethren. False brethren crept in unawares, right? There are going to be people in our midst that give lip service to the right gospel, that say the right things, but don't truly believe them in their hearts. What's a good example of that? I don't know. How about Kenny Baldwin that we're talking about this morning? Kenny Baldwin, an independent fundamental Baptist pastor who just got exposed for being a wicked sodomite, sending lewd pictures to children. That guy didn't just slip and fall. He was a devil from the beginning. He never believed the gospel. He never trusted the gospel. He never had the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, you should learn to discern the difference between performance preaching and preaching that's based on the Bible. You know what his sermons lacked? Bible doctrine. You know what his sermons lacked? Going through the Bible and teaching what the Bible actually says. It's just all this, you know, black church antics is what it was. Let's just be honest. Bunch of performancism is what it was. The Holy Spirit of God guides us into all truth, okay? Look, what you need to do before you read the Bible, here's a good thing to do, is to pray that the Holy Spirit could lead you and guide you into all truth, because that's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit of God. And look, I think it's great to come to church and learn from other people. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. But you know, you can learn any truth in the Word of God with just you, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit of God. And this is why I recommend that you get a Bible that just has the Word of God. And not all the commentary, not all the extra man's words, man's knowledge. You know, go into AI for every Bible question that you have. You know what? There's good tools in this world. But before you go to AI to ask what AI thinks the Bible means, why don't you pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to help you, to enlighten you? You know, why don't you put some work into your Bible? Why don't you put some effort in prayer to God, wanting those deep truths from God, rather than just like, well, let's see what this dead theologian thinks. Let's ask this dead Catholic theologian who doesn't even understand salvation. Let's see what he has to say about this. How about we let the Holy Spirit of God teach us and guide us and lead us to all truth? Go, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. But also, if you notice, the Bible talks about how he takes what Christ has said and he brings it to your what? Remembrance. This is also why it's important to have read your Bible cover to cover. Because the Holy Spirit of God cannot bring something to your remembrance that you never learned to begin with, that you never had in your heart to begin. And it's amazing when you're filled with the Spirit, you're out soul winning, you're filled with the Spirit, and all of a sudden just a verse pops in your mind, and you're like, I didn't even know I had that memorized. I thought I had forgotten where that is in the Bible, and you just all of a sudden remember where it's at. Same thing with preaching. The Holy Spirit of God can help us to do these things. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What was Paul's preaching like? Let me just tell you what the Bible says, right? I'm just going to give you the testimony of God It's not my own wisdom. It's not my own greatness. It's not my own excellency of speech. And by the way, you know what the best preaching is? Is just spirit-filled biblical preaching. It's not like the Pentecostals sprinting around the room and barking like a dog. And it's not the person who could get the most energy in the crowd. Though I like dynamic preaching, let it be biblical.
Yeah.
Let it be spirit-filled. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, I wasn't a Calvinist. I wasn't trying to impress you with my big vocabulary using words you can't even understand, right? But in demonstration, notice, of the Spirit and of power. What's one of the purposes of the Holy Ghost? It's to give you power in your preaching.
Right.
And you know what we need when we go out soul winning? Is not just the perfect little plan and the perfect little memorized spiel. It's to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And you know what? If you are a rookie soul winner, you're not that great with your words. You fumble around in your Bible, but you are Spirit-filled. Let me tell you what, you will be an effective soul winner. And you know what? You could just be like this robot that says everything perfectly and you've just got everything down. But if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you're not going to accomplish much. And if you're not saved, you're not going to accomplish anything. Judas never got anyone saved. Joe Jones never got anyone saved. Let me just say that. Verse number 5. Why is it that you want to preach with the Spirit? So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You keep people with what you win them to. Right? So we want to win people over with spirit-filled biblical preaching, because then to keep people with that, you know what I have to do? I have to keep giving spirit-filled biblical preaching. But when you get Kenny Baldwin and he wins people over by theatrics and acting crazy and his little black culture church mentality, you know what he's got to do? He's got to keep making those jokes. He's got to still keep acting like a clown, acting like this, you know, fake performance type preaching, and that's what he has to keep people with. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. There's some deep things in this Bible. There is some treasure in this Bible. And you know how you're going to find it? By being filled with the Spirit of God. The AI search is not going to show you the treasures of the Word of God. Your online searches, your dead theologians, you know what's going to show you the deep things of God, the rich things of God? It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is going to reveal that unto us. And by the way, we ought not to let the charismatics take away the Holy Spirit from us. Right? I feel like some Baptists are kind of afraid to talk about the Spirit and the power of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit because they don't want to look like a charismatic. I'm not going to let those heretics take the Holy Spirit of God away from me. Hey, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want the power of God. You know what? Every day of my life, I beg God for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to stop because some fake Pentecostal, you know, drags the Holy Spirit's name through the mud by being a fake charismatic, rolling around like a dog, barking. You know what? The Spirit of God is real. The power of God is real.
Right.
We should be searching for that. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Notice verse 14. This is a key verse. You need to know where this verse is in your Bible. It says, but the natural man, that's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Notice this, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The unsaved cannot understand the Word of God because they don't have the Spirit of God. You know how I understand you is because I'm a human being and you're a human being. We have the same spirit of man, so we can communicate, right? You can't go up to a horse and be like, hey, horse, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure? The horse doesn't speak English. The horse doesn't have language to communicate, right? We have a different spirit, okay? This is like, you know, getting a horse to understand me, this is like trying to get an unsaved person to understand the Bible.
Right.
It's not possible, right? They have to have the Spirit of God first. Now, can they know the carnal truths of the Bible? Yes, some of them, but even some of those people struggle with sometimes. I mean, it cracked me up in the comments today for my morning sermon. I'm sitting here teaching what the Bible says about being froward. And we went to like 20 verses to prove what it means to be froward. And this person in the comments like, I don't think you understand what froward means. And I'm just like, okay, you know, tell me where I'm wrong. And then later on, they're like, you can lose your salvation. I'm like, ah, you can't understand the Bible because you're not saved. Right? This is why it's unprofitable to go and argue Bible doctrine with people who aren't saved. You know, we need to, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. When someone's not saved, there's one topic I want to talk about, the gospel.
Yep.
After that, hey, let's teach them to observe all things whatsoever Christ commanded. But you know what? I'm not going to be able to talk end times prophecy with an unsaved person. I'm not going to be able to explain the deepness of the Holy Spirit of God to an unsaved person. Right? There's one thing that they need to hear, and that's the gospel. You know what? Take that as some advice with your lost family members and friends. You know, don't beat your head against the wall trying to get them to understand the truth about the Jews, you know, the post-trib rapture, the reprobate doctrine. You know what your unsaved family members need is for you to open your mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, is to preach the gospel to them. Then once they get saved, hey, then we could teach them other things. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter number 4. First John chapter number 4. Talking about discerning truth, how the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us into truth. Notice 1 John 4:1, the Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Right? So there's many false prophets. And boy, when you go soul winning, you just learn, it's like, wow, there's so many false prophets in this world. You look on the comments on our Instagram and our church page, there's just so many false prophets in this world. Though they claim, hey, I have the Spirit of God. I'm a man of God. I'm teaching the truth. But you know what? You have to try the spirits, whether they are of God. You know how you try the Spirit? This right here. Because what does the Holy Spirit do? He brings into remembrance that which Christ said, that which God the Father said. He leads and guides you into all truth. So if someone's claiming, hey, I'm a spirit-filled man, I'm of God, but what they're preaching doesn't match with the Bible, you say, hey, that's not the right spirit. And it's funny, people like to use that terminology like, I don't think you guys have the right spirit. You know, if we're preaching what the Bible says, that's the right spirit.
Right.
The right spirit matches what this says.
Right.
And you know, the right spirit is not always about being nice. Right? Because Jesus Christ flipped tables, physically assaulted people, called them names, called out government leaders, made people so mad that he was drugged and crucified, right? And people would say, oh, you need to have a right spirit. You know, you would have disliked Jesus' spirit. Because when we're preaching this, we're giving you the mind of Christ. We're giving you the mind of the Spirit. We're giving you the right spirit. And you know, if you don't like this and you don't like us, you just don't like God. You just don't like the Holy Spirit of God. You say, I don't like the way you preach. Then you don't like the way that the Holy Spirit leads. Go, if you would, to John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. Another really important purpose of the Holy Spirit of God is that he convicts the world of sin. And boy, this is an important part of the role of the Holy Spirit of God to convict the believer of sin and even the world of sin, right? Because, you know, you need to get saved from something, right? You need a little bit of fear of hell, the punishment for your sin, to get saved. But, you know, there's false prophets out there that teach that the Holy Spirit never convicts you of sin. There's a false prophet named Joseph Prince. Who's heard of Joseph Prince? He's a pastor of Grace Revolution Church in Singapore, has 33,000 members in his church. He's a big false prophet. He has two satellite campuses, even in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So he's like bringing his doctrine to the United States. And I have met disciples of this guy. I've had people in the flesh tell me that the Holy Spirit of God never convicts anyone of sin, and they're getting it from this false prophet, Joseph Prince. Here's what he said. He said this: the bottom line is that the Holy Spirit never convicts you of your sins. He never comes to point out your faults. Now, remember what the Bible told us to do. try the spirits, whether they are of God. Okay, let's try Joseph Prince's spirit. You know how he presents himself? Very soft, very kind, just very smooth as a preacher. And some people look at that and say, wow, what a good spirit. What a nice spirit. But let's test his words with the words that were inspired by the Spirit of God. Go to John 16. Are you there? Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's actually going to help you when I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What did Jesus say? The Holy Spirit's coming. Hey, it's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter's not going to come. But you know what? When I go away and he does come, you know what he's going to do? He's going to reprove the world of sin. Again, this froward attitude where people look at what the Bible says and say, no, Jesus, you're wrong. The Bible's wrong. You're just arguing against Jesus, arguing against the Bible. What did Jesus say? The Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin, to reprove the world of sin. And you know what? This is a good thing. When I go soul winning, I want to knock on the door of a person with a heart that's been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, I've heard testimony after testimony of people who got saved and said, man, before this, I was scared every night. I was scared every night that I was going to die and go to hell. I was terrified because I knew I wasn't saved, because I knew that I was going to go to hell if I died. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God convicting them of sin. Right? The unbeliever is not indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. The unbeliever is not sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, but the unbeliever can have a heart that's been smitten by the Holy Spirit of God to where they realize, hey, man, I'm unsaved, and it could bring them to that decision of saying, hey, I don't want to be unsaved anymore. I need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to call upon the name of the Lord. That's a very vital purpose that the Holy Spirit serves. And you know what we should be doing as believers before we go out soul winning? We should be praying, hey, that the Holy Spirit goes before us. That the Holy Spirit of God convicts these people, allows them to have a soft heart. You know, we've got a soul winning marathon coming up in August. Start praying now for the very souls that we're going to be speaking to, that the Holy Spirit will go before us, that he'll break down barriers for us, that'll cause those hearts to be soft to the gospel, because that's what he does. He reproves the world of sin. Also, it's vital for a Christian that we are reproved of sin. And some people, you know what they do? They just quench the Spirit. quench the spirit, where they don't even feel bad anymore that they sin. That's a scary place to be. If I'm not right with God, I want to be bothered by that. I want that to bother me. If I don't have power in my preaching or in my soul winning or in my Bible reading, I want there to be alarm bells going off in my mind and in my heart. And you know who's ringing those bells? The Holy Spirit of God. Look, you should be very careful not to quench the Spirit. Because you could just end up being this person where it's like your conscience has just been seared, right? Where you see people where they're just like, it doesn't even bother them to lie. It doesn't even bother them to drink alcohol anymore. It doesn't even bother them to commit fornication. That's a scary place to be in your life. Because if you're saved, God will punish his children. God will, he'll get your attention somehow. You know what? I would rather the Holy Spirit get my attention by saying, hey, you're messing up. You're going down the wrong path. You need to stop right now. And me to be sensitive to that rather than ignoring that and waiting for God to drop the hammer on me. Because God's going to get your attention if you're saved one way or another. And it's a lot easier to just yield to the Holy Spirit of God than to get punished. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Also, I think that we should just have a love of the Holy Spirit of God and not want to grieve him just because we love him. Amen. Right? We love God the Father. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we should love the Spirit of God too. And like here's a great reason not to sin, because the Holy Spirit's with you, right? And you say, well, like, hey, my sin's not going to affect anyone else. No one else is going to know. Is the Holy Spirit going to know? Is it going to affect him? Well, you know, that's a good enough reason to walk in the Spirit and not to grieve him. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, in true holiness. Wherefore, notice, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So what does it look like to grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Again, this is not some esoteric, you know, mystical force. Here's how you know if you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Are you lying? If you're telling lies, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Do you have unrighteous anger? It's not a sin to be angry, but you can sin while you're angry. And let's be honest, most of the anger in this world is sinful. Most of the road rage in this world is sinful. You know, most of the just getting in fights, getting in shootouts, that's sinful anger. Hey, if you have unrighteous anger, you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. If you're stealing, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You know what that means? If you're lying on your time cards to your boss, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You're stealing company time, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, you know, just they're not going to miss this pencil, you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And look, of course, there's a lot more serious versions of that too. Hey, you're stealing bicycles, you're grieving the Spirit of God. Stop stealing people's bikes. Stop stealing people's cars. You know, when I was a kid, we went on vacation and we came back and our entire house was wiped empty except for the gun safes that weighed like 2 tons. You know, the criminals couldn't get those things. But you know what? That would be grieving the Spirit of God if you just wipe someone's house out like that. That's obviously wicked. You know, having corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know what that is? Lying, slandering, railing, blaspheming, you know, sinning with your mouth. That is grieving the Spirit of God. Let's get some more examples. Verse 31, let all bitterness. Hey, you're holding on to bitterness. You're grieving the Spirit of God. Yep. You're bitter against your wife, husbands. You know what? That doesn't just affect you and your wife. It affects the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible even teaches you could hinder your own prayers by being bitter against your wife. You're bitter against another brother or sister in Christ. You're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. You know what that is? Speaking with an intent to harm. Right? Because that's what evil is harm. And it's not talking about wicked false prophets, because Jesus called those people out. Reprobates, Paul called those people out. Jesus called those people out. But there are some people that are intentionally trying to harm other Christians, harm innocent people. And if you're doing that, you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, you see people like this in your life, and is it any wonder that their soul winning lacks power? Is there any wonder why their preaching lacks power? Because they're sitting there grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Right? So sometimes I think that people just want to overly, you know, I'm losing the right terminology for this, but I won't say like overly spiritualize the Holy Spirit, but the Bible gives us like concrete things that you're actually grieving the Holy Spirit by doing these concrete things. And we need to avoid those things. Go, if you would, to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Here's another thing that the Holy Spirit does, is he interprets and intercedes our prayers to God. He interprets and intercedes our prayers to God. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And actually, before we read this, you know, I've heard a few preachers say, you know, that we should pray to the Holy Spirit of God. And look, if you do that, I don't think God's going to like smite you dead if you pray to the Holy Spirit of God. But you know what I see in Scripture is consistently taught that you pray to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when it comes to prayer, you're not praying to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is actually interceding. He's taking your prayers and he's translating it to the Father, right? So he's kind of carrying along the message. And, you know, it's better to pray not knowing exactly what to pray for than to just skip praying, because the Holy Spirit can translate. This is what I'm saying. Look at Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, like our weaknesses, our issues. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Who's ever been there before? You're praying to God and it's just like, I don't even know. You're just like, God, help me. And the Holy Spirit says, all right, God, here's what he needs. Here's what she needs. Here's what's going on. And sometimes you're praying to God and you're just like, God, just please help me. I have no clue. I have no words, right? But you know what? That prayer is better than not praying at all.
Right.
Just saying, God, help me. That's better because the Holy Spirit of God, he could take those prayers. He takes our infirmities. He says, we don't know how to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hey, I'm all for, you know, praying with power and praying specific prayer requests and praying for other people, but there's going to be times in your life where you just don't know how to pray as you ought. And I've even heard people say, like, they don't pray because they don't know how to pray. Just start praying, right? Just start. What is prayer? It's asking, right? Little kids, those of you kids, especially you kids that are saved, start praying. Start learning to pray. Start asking God for things. And just maybe even say this, like, God, I don't know exactly what to ask for right now, but God, just please help me. Hey, God, please give me power. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. God, please guide me. That's a pretty general prayer, but you know what? God can make that real specific. God, please guide me. And you know what? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, the Bible says. Here's a fail of a prayer is not praying. That's the fail of a prayer. And you know, I even recommend praying a lot of if prayers. Like, hey, God, if this is going on, help. Hey, God, if this person is a false prophet, do this. Hey, God, if this is going on, right? And the Holy Spirit, he knows the truth. God knows the truth. He can interpret those things and work on our behalf. I think for sake of time, I'm going to skip some of this. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does is he empowers believers to do the work of the Lord. We've seen that with the Apostle Paul. His preaching was effectual, not because of the wisdom of his words, not because of his education, not because of his stature, but because of the Spirit of God. And that's what we need today is we need the power of the Spirit of God. We will look at a few things. Go, if you would, to Acts chapter number 6. And you constantly see in the New Testament, when believers do the work of God and the Holy Spirit of God steps in, they get filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what you always see? Great works for God being done. So again, you know, when it comes to like who has the right spirit in this world, what church has the fullness of the Holy Spirit? You know, this is not as subjective as people make it out to be. Because if you're seeing thousands of people saved, you say, that's the right spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit of God is moving. You know, you see people, they get up, they're all theatrical, they're yelling and screaming, it's a show, it's a party, but no one's getting saved. Lives aren't being changed. People's hearts are not being touched. That's not the Spirit of God. You know what that is? That's a circus show. And you know what? Even the world can cause us to feel emotional. You ever heard any piece of music ever written by Hans Zimmer? I mean, that guy will make your heart beat a little differently, right? I mean, that music can move you. Music can just instantly just have you feel a certain emotion. There's some music you hear, and it's just like you automatically feel like tears are welling up or something. It's like, what is going on, right? But does that mean that that's the Holy Spirit of God? No. What is the Holy Spirit of God? It's when works are being done for Christ. Don't tell me you're Spirit-filled and you don't get people saved. Don't tell me the Spirit's really moving in our church and you've gotten how many people saved? Oh, I got, you know, one person saved this year. No people saved this year. That's not the Spirit of God.
Right.
Acts chapter 6, verse 1, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. What's happening? The work of God has grown so much that the apostles are kind of neglecting some of the daily administrative tasks of running these churches and running the work of God just because of the sheer number of people that are involved in ministry. Right? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's what? Business. Right? The house of God is a business. We shouldn't be ashamed of that word. It's the greatest business in the world. And, you know, they're so busy that, unfortunately, some widows are being neglected, right? That's not a good thing. But the apostles, they're saying, look, it doesn't make sense for us to leave the word of God, to stop doing the things that only we could do, to stop preaching the sermons, studying the Bible, you know, preaching the gospel, doing these things just to take care of the administrative stuff. They're saying, hey, we need to get some other people involved in this work. Look what it says in verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men, just average Joes off the street, who cares about their qualifications, anyone will do, this job doesn't matter, the work of the ministry is not a real job, Being church staff isn't a real job. Who cares who these people are? Oh, I must have been reading the Salvador Alvarez version there. Excuse me. Because he said working for a church is not a real job. It's amazing how a pastor would say something like that. Does a pastor ever want to have staff? Hey, who wants to sign up to not have a real job? To do something that's not important? What an idiot, folks. Good night. It says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Hey, get some real men of God to do this. And wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Right? We don't have apostles today, but I think the way churches do things is great. How you have a pastor and you have staff. That's fine. That's great. And it's like, what's the pastor's primary job? Preach the word. Be in season, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, right? The Bible gives lots of instructions to the pastor of things that he is supposed to be taking care of. It's a special office. It has high qualifications for a reason. And it's not that the pastor is above doing administrative tasks. Look, I worked for Pastor Shelley for 4 years, and I've seen him do all the same things that I was doing in my role. I saw him get down and dirty and paint the building and work in the building and do things. It's not saying, hey, these guys are too good to do the work. It's just that when there's so much work, you need help, right? You just need people to get on board and assist you and help you. And who do you want to do that? You want men that are filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't want just some random bozos. It's like, oh, well, they couldn't hack it in the real world, so let's have them work in church. That's how some churches are. It's like, hey, this person can't get a job. I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten from unemployed bums. Hey, can you hire me to be a full-time soul winner? No, why don't you go get a job and be a full-time soul winner like all the other men in our church that go to work and then they go soul winning on Saturday? You lazy bum. It says, whom they set before the apostles. Notice, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Verse 7 is the key. And the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You know, there's going to be results when people are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There's going to be results. What do you see? You see that they hired, for lack of a better term, they ordained these seven men, right, that were filled with the Holy Ghost. And as by joining Stephen to your team and these other men that are filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what you see? You see the work of God get better. You see things increase. You see more souls being saved. You see more missions trips. You see more projects. You see more people coming to church. You see the church grow. You see these things happen when the Holy Ghost is involved because the Holy Spirit of God is real. He's powerful. He's a person, and he enables us to do the work of God. And you know what? You know, you look at Steadfast Baptist Church. When Pastor Shelley had help, the church grew every single year. More stuff was done every single year. Now I think he has multiple guys helping him. The work of God goes forward, does even more every year. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is involved. And wherever the Holy Spirit is getting involved, you're going to see results. You're going to see things getting done. And it's not always what people would look at the outside as carnal results, right? It's spiritual results. You know what's a real thing that we do? Getting souls saved. And you know, the carnal will just laugh and mock at that. You guys don't get anyone saved. You know what? Getting one soul saved is a big thing. Getting one soul saved from the flames of hell is a big thing. And you know what? Getting 100 souls saved is a big thing. And you know what? Getting 2,000 people saved is a big thing. And you want to know why that's happening? Because the Spirit of God is there. That's why. You don't ever want to look down and be like, well, you know, I don't know if our church is accomplishing much because we're in a strip mall and we're not that renowned. You know what? Anchor Baptist Church is doing a big thing. It's doing a big thing. And you know why? Not because of wisdom of speech or excellency or power of the flesh. It's only by the Spirit of God. And anything that you accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ, and anything I accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not because of us. It's not because of our skills or our talent or our speaking ability. It is because of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what that means? You better get the Holy Spirit of God involved in your life. You better get him involved in your life. You better pray and ask God for power of the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise, like, what are you doing? Just spinning your wheels? Like, you want to just go out soul winning and not get someone saved? Like, when I go soul winning, I want to get someone saved. I'm not just trying to go die in the heat, okay? I'm not trying to just go get sunburned. I'm trying to keep people from getting sunburned for all of eternity in hell, okay? That's what I'm trying to do. Go, if you would, Ephesians chapter number 5. But look, I don't care how big our church is. Our church has and can make a huge impact on eternity if we decide to be Christians that are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If some Christians would just stop treating Christianity like their side gig, if they would stop acting like this is just a game, we're just playing church, but if you would actually get serious about your Christian walk and actually desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you yourself can do a great work for God in your life. Ephesians 5, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. It means in a careful or a prudent way, right? With wisdom, discreetly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is a wise choice. And by the way, it's a choice. Do you know that this is a command? Right? It's not like, oh, the Spirit of God just magically filled me, just magically came upon me. You actually have the choice to be Spirit-filled. And it's like you see a soul winner and they have power and they get people saved. You see people preaching and they have power and they have effect. It's not because that person's special. It's because they chose to be filled with the Spirit. They chose to put off lying and filthy communication and theft and all those things. And they ask God to be filled. They ask God for power. And you know what the Bible says that is? That's being wise. That's walking circumspectly. That's redeeming the time, saying, hey, I've only got a few short years in this world, right? I've got, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years if God blesses me, maybe more if God really blesses me. And you know what? I would be a fool to spend those days drunk, smoking marijuana, being wicked. You know what I should do? I should redeem that time and be filled with the Spirit, because when I'm filled with the Spirit, my time that I'm spending is going to be effectual. I'm going to get stuff done. I'm going to get people saved. I'm going to do the work of God effectually because I'm filled with the Spirit of God. You can be filled with the Spirit of God anytime you want. Here's one way you could do that. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know why some of you are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God? It's because you don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You know why some people are not powerful? Why they're not powerful in their preaching? Why they're not powerful in their soul winning? It's because you don't want to be. You know how I know that? Because we have singing time. I'll just add to Brother Cameron's sermon here. We have singing time and people just don't sing. They don't sing out. Right. And you know what? That is a choice to not be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Because, hey, you want to be filled with the Spirit? Here's how you do it practically speaking. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I've never once met a Spirit-filled preacher who didn't belt his lungs out during the singing time. You know what? I'll take that back. The only time I've seen that happen is like when their voice is literally failing them. All right? The only time I cut back on my singing is like I have to preach, and if I don't cut back, I'm not going to be able to speak. That's it. Okay? But you know what? You go to conferences and you get around other men of God. You know you always see them singing out. You're around them in their personal life. They're just like always singing hymns. Just singing it. You know what? You should sing hymns at your house. Yeah, as you walk by the way, in your house with your kids, you should have a song in your heart because you're saved. You're a child of God. Yeah. You have the Spirit of God. Why would you not be joyful and sing unto the Lord? Right? Heaven's our home. The Bible's our book. Jesus is our Savior. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Why would you not be happy? Because you don't want to be happy. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Because you don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not magical. It's not this weird equation you have to solve. If you want to be a powerful Christian, you could be one at any time you want. You just have to decide to be filled with the Spirit of God. Get on your face and ask Him to fill you. Get on your face and ask for power every day of your life. Get on your face and say, God, hey, when I go soul winning this Saturday, I don't want to just check this off a list. I want you to please have a person cross my path whose heart has been smitten by the Holy Ghost, who's receptive to the gospel so that I can get him saved. You know, you get an opportunity to preach. Hey, God, please fill me with the Spirit of God, not so that I could just get attention or clicks or preach a good sermon, but so that I could be your faithful servant and help God's people to have a message that's effectual. Right? Hey, you get to make this choice anytime. We're about to sing our last song. You get to make the choice right now. Do you want to leave this building tonight filled with the Spirit of God? Sing out to your heart, in your heart to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit of God, that we are sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Thank you that we could never lose our salvation. Thank you that you've given us a comforter to help us in hard times. You've given us a teacher to instruct us in the Bible, to lead us into all truth. I pray that we would not be foolish Christians that just, grieve the Spirit of God,
but rather we would be wise and ask to be filled with the Spirit. I pray that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit now, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
For our last hymn this evening, hymn number 82. Hymn number 82. When He Cometh. Hymn number 82. Let's sing it out all together. When He cometh,
when He cometh to make of His jewels, all His jewels, precious jewels, His love and His home, like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems.
Dismissed.